Back is McCord. Throws that pass. Intercepted with the football running down the field left side. Kyle Lewis still on his feet at the 25-20, 15-10. He's into the end zone for the second pick six of the day.
This is unbelievable.
Wow. This defense, these Sharks are eaten.
University of Pittsburgh Panthers 7-0 heading into the weekend where they'll meet a 7-1 SMU team in Dallas, Texas. And joining us every Thursday at this time is the legendary voice of the Panthers in his 51st season football, about to start 56 in basketball, Bill Hillgrove. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How's it going for you today?
Good. I know you have seen just about everything, but when you say, well, I haven't seen that before, three picks in one half by the Panthers, 21 points to the D in 30 minutes was really impressive with five total interceptions.
I thought that defense looked like an NFL defense, speed-wise. And we had talked about it earlier. The increased speed that they have at linebacker is pretty obvious. And I think that's why they deserve that name, the Sharks, because they smell blood in the water and look out. Now, this week, it's going to be a different sort of a challenge because I believe Kyle Jennings will play. He got hurt toward the end of the Duke game, came back, wasn't cleared until, yesterday to go full tilt. But I think he'll play. And, you know, he's an athletic quarterback, and he's very accurate. Rashard Smith, their running back, 6.4 yards a carry, that pretty much puts him in, the upper echelon of ACC, if not running backs in the country. So, you know, their work will be cut out. And I was kind of shocked that the opening line from Las Vegas, Nevada, was 7.5. But I guess those people are objective and they see it that way.
Las Vegas, Nevada. I love that. By the way, Pat Narduzzi, Pitt's head coach, on his radio show last night broke the news that Eli Holstein was cleared to play, which is great news for Panthers fans. So it sets up for another quarterback duel and trying to keep the momentum. The Mustangs are ranked 20th, Pitt 18th. They're 7-1. Their only loss coming to the undefeated BYU team. And then last week against Duke, they had to go to overtime. And really, Duke missed a couple of field goals. They could have easily won that game. So I'm sure the Mustangs will want to prove, hey, we're worthy, as these two top 20 teams will battle it out Saturday night at 8 on the ACC Network. And Bill, the defense is going to be critical in this, as they have been the last two games for the Panthers.
I think so. And also, you know, SMU can be disruptive in the kicking game, as Duke found out. Duke lined up with a 30-yarder last play of regulation, and the kid Harvey jumped over a blocker. I guess they call him the Bandit. That's the name that they give those edge rushers. But he jumped over the guy and blocked the field goal, and they went into overtime, and the rest is history. So they're good. The Panthers are going to have to be ready in all three phases. And I like Holstein to bounce back from his, two previous so-so performances.
Bill, I find it rather ironic that a team that had to be that got the death penalty back in 1987 for payments to the players, all these years later, here we are, and SMU is back and is just as big as they used to be.
Yeah, and you know, the defense particularly, all but two starters, both safeties, all are transfers, many from programs like Miami. And so, you know, they're getting it done. They're bringing players in of high quality. And, they're back. And you tip your hat and say, okay. But, you know, I think what the Panthers are going to have to deal with this schedule getting tougher as we get down the stretch, if you're going to be great, you have to beat great teams. And that's what it comes down to.
And while we have Bill Hillgrove, let's talk about the Steelers. They have a bye week. They go into the bye with a 6-2 record. Not a lot of people thought that was going to be the case. Just your thoughts on Russell Wilson and what you saw on Monday night against the Giants.
Yeah, there's a reason he has the C on his jersey. He's been there, he's done it, he's seen it, and I think he sees the field as well as anybody. And like 2 weeks in a row now, we have a quarterback rating of triple digits. We haven't seen that since Ben. And so, you know, I think that augurs well for the offense. The defense can really be dominant at times. I'd like to see them shore it up maybe a little bit better against the run. But I think the bye week is coming at a tremendous time. And I look forward to them, you know, even though, you know, the bulk of their division games are lumped together, I look forward to them going through that and maintaining their winning style.
Bill, what are your thoughts about getting another receiver? There's been a lot of talk about that in the last few weeks.
I was at the opener, and when I saw Calvin Austin do what he did then, and then he had the great game last week, I think he's fine as the number two receiver. And let's face it, when you get a talent like George Pickens and you get a quarterback that can get him the ball, he's like one and a half receivers. So, all that talk about the Steelers having to go after that number two receiver, and some of the names that came up aren't the kind of high character players that you want in your locker room. So I think they're fine.
All right, it's Pitt SMU Saturday night, 8 ACC Network. On the air on The Fan with the network show at 6 with Bill Hillgrove, Pat Bostick, Doran Dickerson, Cale Berger, and myself. Looking forward to a trip to Dallas. I haven't been there since the Super Bowl with the Packers. And remember that horrible weather that week, Bill?
Oh, gosh. And I, you know, those people don't know what salt is. They use sand.
Right.
And I'd say in my hotel lobby, looking out the big bay window, and I saw a car do like a 360 and a half. Those people just didn't know how to handle that kind of weather. But, yeah, that was a nightmare that week. It really was.
We gave Jim Colony a ride to the show at the convention center one morning, and he hasn't been the same since. I'll just leave it at that. All right, Bill, we'll look forward to it. We'll see you on the charter tomorrow. Thanks, partner.
H2P.
The great Bill Hillgrove.
Yeah, okay. Guys, bring us back a win from Dallas.
Oh, that'd be fun. Boy, would that be fun. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA Traffic, powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Ellen Gamble, what's going on?
Well, not so much fun out on the area roads, but lots of brake lights, guys. If you're headed outbound on the Parkway West, here's the good news. They made very quick work of an earlier accident down by the Carnegie Interchange. The not so great news is the delays remain behind it. So traffic is getting on the move again once again there. But you do have heavy traffic on the front side of Greentree Hill, up over the top of the hill, and then down toward Carnegie. The inbound ride greets you with the brake lights at the top of Greentree Hill ahead of those Fort Pitt tunnels. Trying to make your way from the eastern suburbs toward downtown via the Squirrel Hill tunnels, you're lining up at Wilkinsburg. The ride on 28 has gotten a bit better for you, just slow before Millvale, down past the 40th and 31st Street bridges. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 8:25. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
Sunshine greets you again. We're kind of getting used to that. A record 81 today on Halloween, and then becoming mostly cloudy. There's a little hidden vigorish in the forecast. There might be a couple of showers, and hoping if they come, they'll be late. We actually need a little rain, but we're not going to get that over the weekend. Temperatures are going to dip, a high of just near 60 tomorrow, 58 Saturday, back to the mid-60s Sunday, and then Monday we're back to the mid-70s. What's going on? Right now we're in the mid-60s at Pittsburgh International. This is the Big K Morning Show, and every Thursday we check in with Pittsburgh Magazine's food editor, Christy Graver. And today I see via video, and you can too, Christy on the radio at kdkradio.com. Check out our live stream. And Christy is dressed like bacon.
You are what you eat.
I've never seen that costume, but it's very flattering in some
Thank
ways.
You.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love bacon, right? That is, so are you going to a party tonight, or is this just...
I'm taking my daughter trick-or-treating, but as something else food-related, but how, I've worn this a number of years, but...
How old is your daughter, if I may ask?
Well, she's 15.
So but, she's right on the edge of, you know, it's cool, not cool to trick-or-treat?
It's cool to me, so, you know, I mostly want to go.
So she's giving
She's
you a break.
Along.
Yeah, I got you. All right, let's talk about Pittsburgh Magazine. Some great stories. And speaking of dressed up, these bridesmaids understood the assignment, dressed like pierogies.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about a groom who wore a wedding jacket made out of Heinz ketchup packets. Well, at a recent reception at the Hotel Monaco, the bridesmaids dress as pierogies and they race through the ballroom, probably to the cookie table. And it's a scene that went viral on TikTok, so you could check it out on our website. It's really fun and just so Pittsburgh. I need one of those costumes.
Yeah, well, Pittsburgh is known for their cookie tables. I don't think some people, we take it for granted if you're a native, but not everywhere around the country is the cookie table so common.
And they need to embrace it because it's great. I just judged a competition of cookies and I ate a lot. So I love cookies.
All right, here's a great way to support Make-A-Wish.
So Prince Wise, a 9-year-old heart transplant recipient, he dreamed of creating a signature dish alongside a professional. And that was an order that Make-A-Wish was happy to place. So earlier this month, the budding chef visited Floor 2. That's the restaurant inside the downtown Fairmont Hotel. And he spent 4 hours in the kitchen with Chef Fernando Canales to perfect Prince's crab cake sandwich and fries. The meal is available on Floor 2's lunch, brunch, and dinner menus. And it's available through December 21st, with 10% of all sales going to Make-A-Wish, Greater Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. It's delicious. I used to live in Maryland, so I know crab cakes, and this one's really good. So go and support. And it's just like a beautiful restaurant. So Prince is awesome.
So what do you ask for? Prince's crab cake sandwich and fries?
Yes, there's no way you can miss it. Like there's like a little advertisement on every table. You'll see. It's adorable, and he's adorable.
All right, this week in Pittsburgh history, Christy, we're talking today about a record high for Halloween of 81, but that hasn't always been the case.
No, on October 31st, 1993, snow covered the ground for Halloween, which fell on a Sunday. I was a freshman in high school, like my daughter is now, but I went out for candy in McCandless with my dad and my little brother, and I was so bundled up that you could not tell that I was a teenage werewolf. But this Halloween, it's going to be, like you said, like 82 degrees and cloudy. I mean, I'll take it.
We had 6 inches of snow that day. I remember it really well. It was not very Halloween-like.
35 degrees.
Oh, yeah. And overall, yeah, I would say it was actually kind of miserable. So I'll take the
80. I'm a diehard.
I'll take the 81.
Yeah, totally. Have fun. Happy Halloween, everyone. And I can't wait to go out and see everyone's costumes.
Read all about it. Pittsburgh Magazine. Christy Graver, you look great as bacon. Have fun tonight.
I will. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. And we'll check in with Christy next Thursday. Meanwhile, speaking of Halloween, America will spend $12 billion scaring ourselves silly. And New York's got this place called Blood Manor. It's one of the scariest fright fests around. However, a so-called extreme haunted house in Tennessee is causing a big controversy. It's called McCamey Manor. Some people have been through McCamey Manor, have been beaten, abused, and humiliated. There's a $20,000 prize for anyone who endures the entire 8-hour deal, but no one has ever won it. Jim Lorenzo owns Blood Manor and says these extreme houses give traditional haunts a bad name.
We want to make sure that we scare the heck out of people, but we make sure that they're safe. What crosses the line is that you have to consider safety first. You know, you could scare people without touching them, without putting bugs on them. We don't need to torture you to frighten you.
Yeah, I'm with you. I read about that place in Tennessee. Take 25 at KDK. In our city, two arrests have been made of two individuals who are charged with conspiracy and defacing or damaging religious property, according to a criminal complaint. And the names are Mohammed Hamid, a 23-year-old of Coriopolis, and Talia A. Lubit, 24, of Pittsburgh. And they're being accused of defacing in Squirrel Hill near the Shabbat, sign spray painted. And according to U.S. Attorney Eric Olshett, Olshan says that defacing religious property is not protected speech. It is a crime. To get reaction, we wanted to reach out to Rabbi Yisrael Altin. Rabbi, appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Aya, for having me on.
The state of anti-Semitism in these protests, and in this case, criminal defacing of religious property, at least in this case, they've got some suspects. Your reaction to this?
So first of all, I want to express my gratitude and thanks to the law enforcement for carrying through on, you know, taking it seriously and really carrying this all through all the way to the end until they found the suspects and arrested them. And we hope it continues all the way through, you know, and people are held responsible for their actions. That's, I think, what we have our feelings for this morning. In general, you know, it's really sad that people feel that they have to express their opinions in violent ways, especially when their opinions are associating themselves with violent people. You know, as I said, thank God we have good law enforcement here that are, you know, going to keep hopefully help us keep safe.
Rabbi Paul Rasmussen here. I'm curious to know if you're seeing any improvement in anti-Semitic behaviors in the last few months.
You know, it's hard to tell because, it's, you know, to be honest, it's not like every single day every individual gets hit with anti-Semitism. It's an ongoing, you know, all over. Unfortunately, as we all know, it's been a rise on it. Our reaction and, you know, in general and in our organization particularly is we focus on what we need to do, which is creating positive experiences for people, practice our religion, our Judaism proudly, openly, and warmly. And that's where our focus is. So, of course, you know, we're cognizant of what's going on around us and making sure everyone's being safe. So that's really where our focus is on. And, you know, we leave it to law enforcement to keep their eyes on the those doing violent acts of anti-Semitism. But, you know, that being said, clearly we have a problem here. And, you know, I don't know to say that it's getting better or worse, but we definitely have something here that has to be dealt with.
And Rabbi, as you're acutely aware, we just came across the sixth year since Tree of Life. A lot of people reached out from around the country and the world. I'm sure you heard from a lot of people who are empathetic and in face of that tragedy.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the fact that our city was the site of the worst anti-Semitic attack in the country. Does give, you know, keeps people on edge. And so when things like this happen, you know, even if it's just defacing a building and it's not, and thank God, not a person being harmed, but it does get people on edge. But then again, you know, as I said, our strength is in our positivity. And that's where we put in our effort to do as much as we can to keep a positive community and environment for people.
And what is it that you have planned for the next coming month or two?
So we are actually, you know, the funny thing about the defacing of our building is we are coming to an end of a large renovation of our synagogue. So, you know, on the outside they try to get a little dirt in there, but on the inside we have a beautiful building that we're finishing now, and we're looking to celebrate that and utilize that. So we're actually in a very you know, exciting phase in our organization. And so we're getting ready for Hanukkah and a couple of this year. It's at the end of December, and Hanukkah is always a big celebration in our organization. I'm sure you and your listeners are familiar with the menorah parade that's put up by our organization with the cars going around, big celebrations on the street. So we're gearing up for more celebrations.
Rabbi, appreciate your willingness to speak with us today and get your reaction. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We should only have good news to share with each other.
We appreciate that. Rabbi Yisrael Altin on News Radio KDKA. Starting to get a little weird around here. Have you noticed, Paul?
Yes, I have.
We have this Halloween costume contest going on in Odyssey, Pittsburgh here, where we have gathered people on and off the air for five radio stations. Mm. And I've seen some weird things over the years here. And today's just one of them.
Anything stand out?
Well, we got Kale Berger from Y108 dressed as, who's the guy? Post Malone.
Post Malone.
Who's got all the tattoos on his face. So he has some, I assume they're just scribbled on with Sharpie.
Right.
Or otherwise. And then we have Andy Lindberg, who's our digital manager. There he is, dressed as the guy from Halloween, Jason, right?
Oh, my. Oh, no.
What? He's actually, he looks like our old boss, Dave Labrosi, with that on. So you're wearing, what is that? Who is that?
Michael Myers.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, baby.
But he's in Halloween.
Yeah.
I'm just in the right movie genre. When you put that mask on, now you have a jumpsuit on just like Michael Myers did.
He was apparently an auto mechanic.
And you look a little bit like Dave Labrosi, our former big boss, Dave.
Well, I just want to know that I'm proud of you and I will be murdering everyone.
And what is Pat Septak, our news editor?
Charlie Brown.
Oh, I see. I didn't get the bottom. Oh, I see the bottom of your shirt there. I was missing that. So I could tuck in. I have a black shirt on. So if I button the top and put in a little white collar, you could call me Father Lawrence.
As long as you just don't want to hear any confessions, that's all I care about.
I kind of do, actually. I hear that every day when Marty comes in. And Erin is not dressed up. She's going to get, she doesn't realize this is a big deal today for the contest. What's the prize?
I have no idea. I just don't want to, I mean, I paid for this, so I figure I'd get the mileage out of it.
The thing with that mask is you can't tell it's you walking around.
Yeah, it freaks my wife out. She
freaks everybody out.
But the original mask that Michael Myers wore was actually a William Shatner mask from Star Trek that they found and spray painted white.
Oh,
for Halloween.
Look at you with the scary movie facts.
And I had one other thing I wanted to tell you. You were talking to Christy Graver about haunted houses.
Yeah.
What is it, Mobay or Bear, that complex on off the Parkway West, that big...
It's Convestro now.
Yeah, it's Convestro now, but back then they had a haunted trail, and they would have employees from the company as, like, scary people, and there was this one woman with a very thick Pittsburgh accent trying to be scary, so you heard in the woods, like, "Food. I want food." And it kind of killed the aesthetic, but
get out. That's like Jimmy Crenn talking about he met an exorcist, a real one here in Pittsburgh, and the guy was a little older. He said, "You used to be an exorcist." He goes, "Yeah, Jimmy, I'm retired now. That's a young man's game." And then Jimmy said, "Well, what did you do? You go in the house? Get out of the house, you demons." All right, well, you can see if you go to our video stream. I don't know what Marty's going to be dressed as, or Colin Dunlap, for that matter.
I'd be surprised if either of them costumed today, but we got first time for everything.
Michael Myers with a plastic knife. And
I forgot my real stabbing knife.
That's great. 855 at KDKA, who are you?